Blog Talk Radio.
Hey kids, this is John Patrick Robbins and welcome to Off the Wagon, and we are going to call, well, it's always fun, so let's start off the show with showing how little I am technology savvy here, and let's call a very special guest and great friend of mine, Brian Quinn Flanagan. Let's give this a go. So bear with me, folks. I know this is probably aggravating. Last time was a whole lot of fun. Let's see if we can be as aggravated and have as much chaos as last time. But we had a great interview, so I can't wait to see how this one goes. All right.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
I can't believe we got it on the first time, and that is amazing in itself.
Yeah.
So, man, you got a new book out, Vegas Poems 2, Alien Buddha Press. Let's get into it, man, because I know I read, I saw quite a few excerpts from it, and it would blew me away, man. Really incredible work on that, I have to say.
Thanks, man.
No, we can tell it's going to be a real energetic time here. No, how you doing today, bud?
Not bad. It's funny, I was thinking of you last night because I was sitting around here, and then suddenly the bear banger started going off again.
Oh,
I knew you said, oh, I didn't know what those were. It's like, oh, yeah, the fucking bears were all over the streets last night. So the cops were out there shooting bear bangers off.
At least the cops have something to do, unlike where I live.
Yeah, that's true.
You harass the bear.
Yeah, we harass the bears, and it sounds like Compton, but it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so badass. But bears are pretty badass. I mean...
Well, yeah, you don't exactly want to be walking down the street and they're walking the other way, you know.
Yeah, man. Like, how the fuck do you have to constantly be like thinking when you walk outside? I mean, because I would just not, you know, I don't come from that, so I would be like killed within like a day.
Well, you got to be careful at night, right?
Yeah.
I guess they're just out looking for food, and you might not see them. Hopefully, it's not a mother with her cubs because they tend to go real crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, I mean, I know about bear, but I can't imagine that, man. I can't imagine. It's bad enough when they decided to, when the geniuses out here decided to insert coyotes, but they don't bother anybody. It's not, you have to, like, worry when you walk outside or something. That is just really, really, really odd. And I love how the conversation is going to go to anything but writing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. Madman of Coyote Island, right? Wait till the coyotes get hungry enough. Then they'll come bother you. they'll be roving packs.
That'll be a great end to me. That's kind of like, yeah, that was a great ride, man. You've been really kicking ass a lot lately. Yeah, I have to ask, man, you did the Vegas Poems, too. Is there going to be a third?
It depends if we go to Vegas again. The wife's already planning a trip to Vegas again, and I'm like, Jesus, we got to stop going there.
No, really? I thought you loved the place, man. It sounds like a blast.
It is. But,
yeah.
You know, soon you'll be the Vegas guy. You know,
yeah.
You'll have like 10 books out with different Vegas.
All Vegas, so, yeah. That you get,
yeah.
You've got a real niche going, so like, no, you... I don't know, man. It is great, and I mean the book. At least what I've seen of it thus far, man, it's fucking incredible. Like I said, I mean, did you like from writing the first to writing the second? I mean, was it just like a natural thing? They just flowed right together, or you know, how was that all?
The first one was more natural because we'd just gone there. I guess we'd gone to get married. And, you know, it's first time there, so big eye-opener and everything. So you take everything in. So when you come back, it's really fresh, right? So you come back, you basically write it in, like, a few days. And it's done. And then The second one I wasn't planning on riding because I think I told you, I said, no, this time we're going to sit on our ass. We're going to do fuck all week. We're just going to go on the strip at night and party, and then we're going to lay by the pool and do shit. And it's going to be awesome. And did, but then things kept happening around you, right? It's like, oh, make a note, mental note of that. Make a mental note of that.
Yeah.
So when you get home, you let it sit there, percolate for a few weeks or whatever, and then you sit down and start writing that one too. But yeah, that one wasn't planned. The first one was planned. So.
Oh really? Because I just figured, it just seems natural, man. The book is like, it is awesome, man. It really is. But I mean, you're always kicking ass, so.
Well, shit's always happening in Vegas, right? That's the thing. Every time you go, okay, well, there's more things that are happening, you know? It's not every day you see, oh, there's a Minion crossing, there's a Spider-Man hanging out with Chewbacca at lunch, you know? These aren't normal things, so they're going to show up.
In itself.
Yep. It's just ridiculous, Chewbacca, right?
God, man.
And my wife...
It's going to be weird... Oh, I'm sorry. What are you saying?
My wife's sitting there with Spider-Man and Chewbacca saying, don't look at them. If you look at them, they'll go crazy and try to charge you for taking pictures. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there thinking, man, we're going to get hassled by Spider-Man and Chewbacca at lunch. I mean, this is an interesting place.
You know, it has to be a blast when you're buzzed, but then to another degree, it's like, yeah, that would be just fucking annoying. It's like, it's one thing to get like harassed by you, just a normal person, but a normal person dressed as Spider-Man is, I guess that's not a normal person.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny when you're buzzed, but I wouldn't drop acid there.
Well, God, man, they've got all that Cirque du Soleil stuff and everything else. I'd be scared to have to drop acid anywhere in Vegas. That would be a little bit. A little bit too much for me, man.
Walk the strip at night and you just totally buzz out. You just find yourself, like, curled up in a dumpster in the morning.
Oddly enough, I don't think you'd shock the cops at all. I don't think there's anything you could do there that would get them. They're probably just, has to be an interesting job to be a cop in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they've seen it all, smelt it all. Yeah, if they walked into a room and, you know, their wife was in bed with a bunch of coyotes and there was birthday streamers hanging from the ceiling, they would just go, oh, yeah, cool, climb into bed, turn out the light.
Wow. Yeah, we got to stick on the coyote thing. That's like, Jesus, man. No, so what are you working on now, man? Because you're always, like, on to the next book. You are the fastest writer I know in the world, man. You just make me feel so damn lazy because you're just like, you can. How many writes do you crank out a night? Like a damn factory, man.
I think it's between, like, 14 and 25 poems.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Whenever the wine runs out.
Yeah, I wrote one. So I'm not a factory by any means.
If it's a good one, then you got that right. That's all you need.
Yeah, well, even my best, I don't know if I would ever put the word good attached. But no, man. So it's every night. Do you ever have times where you just think, man, I just ain't got nothing. You know, I mean,
there's some days.
What do you do, man?
I've tried to work through it sometimes, and a lot of it's just obviously not there that day. Sometimes it's good to just turn it off and just drink and listen to tunes instead. That's usually the best thing. And, you know, some days you just sit there and you're just dog whipped and there's nothing, right? So,
yeah.
You just put on the tunes and call it a holiday.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely
if
know
you
music.
Can.
Yeah, music's definitely a big thing.
Music,
for you and
writing
myself.
And everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because we talk music. So it's like, music's always a thing when it comes to that, man. But that dreaded thing we like to, I don't ever speak of it too much, but that dreaded thing we call writers, I mean, does that ever worry you, or are you just not stressed over it? You think, well, hell with it, man, just relax. I mean, I guess everybody's different.
Yeah, I used to worry about it. And now I just kind of sit there and I think, well, I find that if you don't worry about it or you try your best, just do something else, then it tends to just work itself out. But and then you stress about it a lot less, right? Like, you know how things pile on each other. So if you stress about it, then it just drags on longer and longer, and then other things feed on it, right? So it's best to just say, you know, fuck it, and have some drinks, have a good time, and then hopefully wake up the next day, and hopefully you have nothing to do that day, and then try again, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing, I think, any time when it comes to it, the more you concentrate on it, the worse it gets.
Oh,
you know, I know it does for me. And I mean, of course, stress. I mean, Jesus Christ, man, stress will always just intensify that and everything else. But its main thing is just to stay with the page and just, you know, or just let it sit. That's my thing. I definitely know how to have a good time. So,
well,
what
that's
I do
the
now
thing,
for
too, right?
Time,
people think there's a rush. To do it, right? And it's like, well, there's not really a rush. You're just kind of putting that on yourself. And then, you know, you'll build the stress, then you'll think about it, then you won't sleep well because you're thinking about the stress, and then it all just fucks up everything, right? So just sit with it, like you said, you know, and then it'll come when it comes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have to agree with that one, man. And so it's, you know, I don't know. So what are you, like I said, man, are you working on another book right now, or what have you got going on?
Yeah, working on a few, and most of them are written now. I have to print them out. And, you know, the fun part, editing.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah.
Editing is
tremendously
fun.
Yeah. Fucking hate editing.
No. Well, I do too. And now some people call me an editor once it's fucking ridiculous. But, you know.
Well, yeah, you're a full-time editor now. So.
Yeah, I know. I decided, you know, I was thinking, what can I do to make myself even crazier than I already am? And I'm like, yeah. I said, well, I'll just start it, you know. And I figured when I did start the whiskey, I'd get, you know, a couple friends in there, and I didn't think it would take off. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit. You
know, now you got a full-blown thing.
now it's like, like, no time for writing. I have to work on this other stuff. No, I mean, it's cool, man. I really enjoy it. But it's like, because I love how last time we talked, you said, no, I would never be an editor. And it was like, yeah, I won't either. And then for some reason, one of those great ideas you get at like 5 in the morning, you know, when you had way too many drinks, it's like, why not? You know, and no.
Well, it's so funny, too, that it totally like works out and it's like picked up with like a firestorm.
It's bizarre. If somebody would have told me that the whiskey would have took off, I'd be like, no. Because, like, you know, when I'm starting, I just thought, well, fuck it, man. I mean, I'll badger you. I'll badger a couple other friends and get some work, and that'll be it. And then all of a sudden, people started sending work in. Like, people, I couldn't even believe it. Some people who were sending in, you know, like good friends of ours and stuff like that, like Catfish, who I didn't even think, I wasn't even going to pester him. I figured he would say, who's this dickhead? But no, he sends me work, and I'm like, God, that's what's cool, man, being able to, you know, publish with people that you really admire, and that's the thing.
Yeah, Cat's a cool dude. He's been doing that forever.
He is so awesome that I couldn't believe it, because it's just weird. It's still weird to me, man, even because I go around and I probably solicit more than I get submissions in. I you know, I figure, why wait when I can go harass everybody? So I decided to do, like, in the middle of the night, you know. But, I mean, seriously, I know the people and the style that I want with the with the zine, so I just go out.
So why
it,
sit
you know?
On it, right?
Yeah, I know. Wait, Ryan, I just have to know, man, when are you going to start your own?
When am I going to be a full-time editor?
Yeah, I want to see that one. When is the Ryan Quinn Flanagan Quarterly coming out?
I was thinking, though, with yours, with whiskey, part of it's probably HST kind of going under, right?
Yeah, that is one thing we definitely should talk about. Once I couldn't believe when, you know, when you got the email and yeah, that one really, honestly, because I don't know I know Arthur just from sending him work. I don't know the inner workings of the case, but could not believe that that went over under. Or, well,
yeah,
not necessarily under. I know that they're thinking about moving, and so far they're still around. So
yeah, they're moving a site and then doing the HST quarterly. But basically, like, all the stuff that the trove that had been collected there really for the underground press, which is all that stuff is huge there. I guess that might be gone. I don't know.
I don't know. And that's, if so, that is extremely sad because, you know, so many to me really top and really good writers came out of there, you know.
We all got our start there. I think a lot of us, like, in the earliest things, when you look at least consistently submitting work, right?
And I mean, that's where, God, I had, like, some of my first pieces of fiction come out, and, that was a great, great platform, and I think it's a damn shame if it doesn't come back. But, I mean, I know they're saying it will, so I definitely hope it will, because there is a need, because there'll be a hell of a fucking void. There's nobody can fill that void. But, you know, it is weird, and I could not believe it when I heard it, so, yeah. And
apparently
it's
you're
hard
filling
though.
The void now.
What is that?
Apparently you're filling the void now.
Everybody's
sending to the whiskey now.
Yeah, it's like, no. It's like, yeah, let's get, every time I think, yeah, I'm going to sit down and write, then here comes, like, you know, more submissions. It's like,
100 submissions.
But then again, it's kind of a good thing, you know, I mean, in a way that at least the whiskey is there, and, you know, people are always welcome to submit, and so it's, you know, I mean,
that's
and I'm always
there.
Up. So I can I can reply to you. I'm a little bit faster than most editors because, like, I have no life.
as a writer, you know that that's a great thing. You know, somebody who will respond to you in a reasonable time instead of, you know, like, 14 months later and you haven't heard shit,
God,
and it's like, you know.
What is the longest wait you've ever had waiting on a submission?
I guess besides all the ones that just never heard back from.
I know we've got them. I have too, but yeah.
Yeah. Probably about, I'd say about 15 or 16 months.
Jesus. That is just, you know, it really get on your nerves. I mean, it does on mine when you look at some of these places that have, and I mean, I know that a lot of them have, you know, they really take their time and they put stuff together well and everything, but, you know, I mean, getting back to people, I don't know. That's just, when you take that long, it's just, to me, it's just a pain in the ass. I mean, I think you know when you read something, whether you dig it and you want it in your mag or whatever you want to call it,
you
pretty
would
much
think so.
Right off the bat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we know what we like, just like anything, as people. You listen to music, you don't have to listen to it for, like, 3 months and tell somebody if you like it.
Exactly.
Kind of ridiculous,
like,
man.
Wait, sitting on a poem for 15 months, like, you know, some marriages don't last that long now.
Yeah.
So,
no.
But you're going to sit with a poem for fucking 15 months. I don't know what you're doing with it. And then, you know, I always look at it this way. It's like, well, okay, you're approaching a year and a half. What's our average lifespan? You know, how much time do you think people have to sit? We're not exactly here that long, you know?
No, it is so aggravating, I have to admit. I mean, but, you know, most publishers, I'm not going to, like, badmouth people, but it's just most publishers are not that long, but there are some that, it still amazes me. But, you know, the worst thing is to wait all that time and get a no. It's like, well, thank you. 1 year later, it's like, you suck. Thanks.
Yep. It's like, well, usually
right
if I waited
that.
A year, I assumed it was a no anyway.
It was like that rejection I talked about. And I'm not going to name who that was with, because it's you know. But it was so funny. It made me laugh where it offended other people or whatever, and I just, you know, it's like that was funny. That was like the very next day, once I really admired. It's like, they didn't have to wait that long to tell me I was shit, you know.
They had their opinion right away. They didn't have to wait 15 months.
Their opinion was instantaneous. It's like, you're crap. Well, thank you.
Yep. I think I told you too. I've been called disgusting by an editor. I had another one say they just wrote back, right? They didn't say anything else. It just said one line, and it said, "You try too hard." That's all it said.
I love that they had to take the effort to do that. It's like, you know, what? Why?
Yeah.
Some people, I just think, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Some people, I just think they became editors just so they could continue being an asshole in school. You know, they're like
yeah.
a dickhead in school, and they're gonna continue their career. Like maybe they're
their
like
school,
a
their school days are
monitor.
Over, so they have to relive it somehow, right?
But they're like, no, you suck. It's like, wow, thanks. There's a couple, man.
Just got home from tailgating some people, you know. How can I fuck around with someone else? I'm not in my car anymore.
Yeah, it's like, it is true. The weirdest rejection I got was from this one magazine where the editor in particular, he didn't give me a rejection. He sent me a poem and then, like he took another poet's work. And I was, like, reading. I'm like, okay. And then you read below, and it's like, you know, sorry to know. But, like, why did you include a poem? Like, what, am I supposed to write like this person or something?
It was someone else's poem?
Yes, it really was. And I can't remember the poem. I really can't. I mean, I wish I could, but, you know, drinking has its effect, man. But it was somebody else's poem. And then it was like, you know, sorry to say no, and they wouldn't. It's like, you know, when somebody's just being pretentious, it's just to me it's comical, you know.
Yep.
But to put another person's poem, like I thought, you know, if I'm a poet, I really don't want. That was a dumb statement, but I really don't. Would you really want your work used to be like a rejection to somebody? It's like, I don't think that was the intention.
It's part of your poems become the form letter for their site.
It's like, wow. Like, you don't know how to react to that one. I remember I got a rejection card when, you know, when we were sending, because you sent out too, like when you send it through the mail.
Oh,
and I know. Yeah, well, I'm just saying, my age is not accurate on Facebook. But I sent out to, that's when you buy, you know, like the Poets Market, and I would just send out to, like places that I never should have sent out to. Like now I wouldn't even bother. You know what I mean? We all know our niche and we know our markets. So, and that's what definitely young writers should learn is learn your market, learn your niche. But I remember sending out to this one in New York and they sent me back a rejection card. The editor just signed it. It was just a card and he just signed it. That was, I still got that one. That's fucking hilarious to me.
It doesn't say anything, just signed?
No, it was a nice, you know, it was really nice, but it was like, you know, we know you put time into it and yada, yada. You know how it is. And,
you know,
sorry to say it's a no from us, and it was signed the editor. I'm like, wow, it's like an autograph.
Collecting the autographs of editors who are rejected.
Editors, that's what I do. I think I collect rejection slips, and all of a sudden they started accepting me for some reason. I think they just get tired of me hassling them, man. So after a while, like, why not come on into the party? It's like, I don't know, man. It's funny on the rejections and things like that, but you know, I don't know, man. Just like last time we were talking about different readers of ours and how they like to message you at weird hours. I had one not long ago messaged me once I thought was kind of funny. I thought, well, you know, oh no, he knows I have a, you know, a little easy now. He's going to send me some work. And no, instead he sends me, this time around, he didn't send me karaoke videos. He sent me, he's trying to start his own merchandise line. I'm dead fucking serious. His own like clothing type stuff. He's sending me pictures and like, what do you think? I'm like, well, they're great. Find me and kill me.
please wait to shoot me until you put out your spring line.
Yeah, I know. I thought, wow, he's really an entrepreneur. I mean, you know, like he told me, I'm just going to leave. It's a true statement. He told me, hey, man, I'm just going to leave my writing out there. On this one website, he leaves it out and, you know, posts it. And I'm just going to leave it out there, and I figure somebody someday will have to discover it because it's that awesome. I thought, you go.
Yep. Oh man,
it's ridiculous. So have you had
I love the karaoke videos, though.
So. Oh yeah, no.
That's awesome.
Me, I mean. Oh, karaoke.
Never had anything like that one. That's awesome.
I know. I should send those along, but I don't want it to find out, and then you'll be really angry. So you know, you got to get down with the sickness. That's all I'm saying. But that was interesting. I was like, well, you know, at least he likes metal.
And now he's got a clothing line.
Yeah, exactly. We've mentioned this, but any new fans that are a little bit different or off center, besides like a person that writes you named me.
Oh yeah. As you know, I'm sure you get your share too, especially now with whiskey up. But
yeah,
you'll get the invitations to go meet people.
Oh, really?
They,
I don't get those.
Some people want to come to your home.
Oh yeah.
I told you about the other guy with the poem where he's like, did you fuck her over good? And it's like, I think you missed the point of the poem, man. You don't want to be anywhere near her. But the guy's like just crazy, right? He's just going off.
Yeah.
You go, okay. Yep. I agree. Don't shoot me.
Don't shoot. People actually want to just come to your home.
Yep.
I mean, really? They ask for your address.
Yep.
Like I like your work. Can I come to your house?
Yep.
What the hell?
The only thing that's missing is a karaoke video with it and a spring line they can wear.
I can send them your way if you want. I mean, don't...
No, thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so lucky, you know. I'm not as well read, but I do have some interesting people that write me. So, you know, we can compare. But really, does it ever make your... I mean, I have to ask, man. Does it ever make your wife nervous? I mean, because you are really out there. Like, a lot of places, you're very known. We all know this. You're a great writer. I mean, does it ever make her nervous just, you know, because you're so out there that maybe, you know, Looney Tunes really will just show up at your door or not even come to mind?
Well, we had a good laugh recently because I had this guy, right? And I think he kept trying to pick me up. And but I kept telling him, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I'd mention, you know, my wife.
Yeah.
And over and over again. But he didn't seem to understand what a wife is. So he just kept trying to pick me up all the time. And then he, you know, wanted to meet at a restaurant or something somewhere. And it's like, well, besides the fact that the restaurant's like, you know, far away, hours away, different cities, and it's like, oh, by the way, my wife again. But oh yeah, I guess I had a fanboy. Do they call them? Or...
Oh well, quite literally, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't somebody playing a prank on you? It's literally.
Well, yeah, that's
somebody...
the other thing, right? You're looking around. You're like, where's the candid camera? This is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But funny thing is, not man. There's a lot of crazies out there.
That's what I mean. That's because, unfortunately, like your work's everywhere. Your work is literally everywhere. I am surprised if I go somewhere it's not, then I don't know any place like that. But you know, and I mean that, and that's not an insult. That's a compliment. But I mean, your work's everywhere, so it's bad to a degree. Just because, you know, you never know how people are going to misinterpret things, especially nowadays, because people take stuff way, you know, like they missed the point of a joke or something like that. You know?
Well, that's the main thing. that's the main things out there now is I think, one, people don't understand the humor behind the thing, right? They take things way too seriously, and then they mix that with two people have real thin skins.
Yeah.
So they,
yeah.
they get easily offended about everything. It's, you know, it's the age of being offended by, perpetually offended by everything. Instead of just laughing at it, because, I mean, it's most of it's pretty hilarious. But.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's funny. It was like when I put out that right, once I, of course, I ran by you first. But it was, I worried about that one. Because I thought, well, people are going to think I'm just trying to, like, slam, you know, or be a, it's like, no. I mean, that really came about with a good buddy of mine who passed that. I remember when I used to DJ a lot of times, and, you know, just like anything, when you're working the bars, you're going to meet a lot of people, and some of those people are Looney Tunes, you know. And when somebody was just kind of weird or annoying or whatever, my favorite thing when I got kind of buzzed, I would always give somebody a different name, you know. And I remember he told me one time, my buddy was like, if you don't fucking quit that shit. So that's my, you know, like I said, I'm not really good at the tribute rites, but I like to give a nod. You know, and I mean, I'm just glad you got it because I mean, I was kind of nervous for a while. I thought, oh shit, you know.
Oh yeah, I found it hilarious. It was awesome.
Oh, you know, I had to get rid of the guy somehow. Well, now he can go your way.
Just imagine you're doing that in your bar days. You're giving different names, and you go out so often to the same bar, you start seeing people, and you're giving the same people different names.
Well, I used to. It's not a joke. I was a DJ. I played a lot of the places, the same places regular. So I would just do that. I don't know why, you know. I mean, go figure. If you don't get I have a sense of humor, then I feel bad for you. But, yeah, I would just do that. And then after a while, it got kind of ridiculous because everybody's calling you a different name, you know. But I was just, I don't know why I did it, man. It's just fun to have I like to have a good laugh, you know. That's the thing. Just like, I know we've talked about, man, I like to write to entertain, you know. If I can give you a laugh and kind of take you out of this, you know, just the day-to-day bullshit, you know, because that's, especially, man, like even when I read your work, man, it's a great escape, man, because you've got really great humor in there, you know what I mean?
Same thing with yours. That's what I love about it is the humor, and people understand it's very underrated, you know. People want to laugh, they want to get away from the shit, right? You don't want things piled on you, even more shit, you know?
Yeah. That's the main thing, man. I think that definitely I know you do and I do too, man. I just, like I said, I like to, my thing is if I can't incorporate humor somewhere, even in the stuff that's kind of, you know, like whatever you want to say, maybe even a little depressing, I've got to have a sense of humor somewhere. It's just my nature, you know, because, God, it's just, there's so much bad in this world. You need to put something good out there besides just misery and God knows, and there's plenty of people that's what they enjoy writing too, you know, but I think that's why I enjoy the whiskey too, because I think overall a lot of people get humor there, and you know, hell, I've got a lot of good damn writers, man. I'm lucky, man. Pester enough of you that you all send me work, so.
Yeah, you're building quite a collection there.
Yeah, I know. I have the Ryan Quinn Flanagan archives going on there. You always catch me up. I mean, you're so damn consistent. Like I said, with the way you write and everything, I wish I could do that, but it's like with this monstrosity of a book I'm editing right now, I'm almost through with it. But, you know, every time I think it's done, I'll go to it and I'm like, oh, fuck, I missed this or that or this or that. And I just, it drives me nuts, man. That's why I don't see how you do it, man. You just put out, you do, man. But now you've been doing it a long time, so it's like, you know, you got it down to a fucking science, man, or at least it seems that way.
Yeah, I think it's just a bad attention span that seems as science. You know, you do it, it's like, oh, you're on to the next book. It's like, well, yeah, because I got a horrible attention span. Can't focus on anything, you know.
Yeah.
I have sitting there on a novel I try and write, like I told you, it's still at 3 pages or whatever. Like, I can't stay focused on a single thought. How the fuck am I going to write a novel?
Yeah, is it really hard to switch gears for you? I mean, going from doing the poetry to the novel writing. You find it really difficult?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cause, I mean,
like poetry,
story,
you can just jump around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's cool. And But short stories, then it gets a bit of a challenge, so that mine are just a bit of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then a novel, that would just be ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. There'd be, what are you going to work on, like 42 different plots? And, you know, you're not going to stick with one plot.
Yeah.
You're going to get tired of what you're doing.
When it comes to novels, it's just, you know, I think I can handle short stories fine. I think I can handle, you know, and poetry, of course. But, I mean, I like to tell a story in everything I do anyways. But to me, when it comes to a novel, it's like building a damn bridge. You know how the beginning's supposed to be, and to me, you know how to end it. But the hardest part is that middle part. You know, working it through without being fucking boring and boring yourself, you know. Because that's the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've started stuff, and then you get to that middle part, and you just start losing steam, you know.
And that's the thing, right? And you'll know, because when you're doing it, you'll be like, okay, well, if I'm finding this boring, what the fuck's the reader going to find, right? Of course, they're going to find it boring, too. So what the fuck am I doing? You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why, like, poems,
I mean,
you can just work fast, and then people can read them. They're visceral, they're short, and you get the humor, you get the thing, you move on, you know.
Yeah. That's the thing I found out just from this book's been like a damn, well, because I've had to do it twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Crazy.
I'm glad I did. But it's just the self doubt to me. I don't know. I mean, you know what you know, you kick ass, man. But for me, it's the self-doubt in there. I keep thinking, well, God, is it too many pages? Is it not enough? Is it, you know, it's all the questions that drive me fucking nuts when I go through it, you know.
What is it up to now?
Well, how many, well, I'll go by rights. How many pages? Don't make me do that. I'd have to look it up. We can't. My memory is terrible. But it's like, you know, when I sat down and it's, you know, it's still because I'm not quite sure, but I'm still picking through everything and thinking, well, that didn't really go that well, and you want the flow of it to be good, and it's just, that's what drives me crazy. I really, you know, I love submitting to different mags and everything, because it's, you know, it's like four rights at best or something like that, and it's not the same thing, you know. You don't want to bore the reader to death, but hopefully I won't. But I hope I'm trying.
It's
not
interesting that you're talking about flow. That's actually one of the most important things, I think, when you're putting it together, right? That's actually what I focus on a lot. And if you do stress about something, it's the flow of the book. And when you're trying to get everything down and ordered, it, you know, you want it to flow and read a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the biggest stressor, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find.
Well, of course, and it's like you said, man, and I do, you know, and I think of them just like the same way you're thinking of them. Like, I think of them like albums, you know, like a really great album. You listen to every damn track and you can let it play, you know. There's plenty of, you know, you buy an album, you like two songs on it. I don't want it to be like that, you know.
Yeah. No filler.
I want
right?
people to, and yeah, no, absolutely no filler. I do think I've trimmed the fat, and it's good, but yeah, we're still, I'm almost done editing. I'm almost at the last few writes I've got in it, and it's just driving me nuts, though, personally. don't look for the second book right away. I'll put it that way. I'm not that. There's a big difference between it, because I'm not that. No, because somebody asked me, hey, I bet you're ready to move on to the next. I'm like, no, no, I'm not. You know,
no, I really
like
don't
want to
start this again.
No, it's great. It's just been such a process, you know, because it's. As far as like the book and all the drama, what happened, everybody knows now. It's just, you know, you've had it, and it's been like, God, I don't know, going on 10 years? You know, that's ridiculous. It's I feel like, what am I, Axl Rose, waiting to put out his next album? You know, it's like...
when they're waiting on Chinese Democracy?
Yeah, I know, when the record company was, like, threatened to sue him. Because just after a while, I think you got to just kind of put it out there. You can't, you know, you can't dissect it a million times over, but that's definitely what I've probably been doing, but it's almost done. It's just editing right now, and I'm a horrible editor. That's so good. So send me work. Really bad
full-time editor.
I'm editor, but yeah. Yeah, no.
you just got to treat your writing books like a Portishead, that they only have 3 albums, and they put out like an album every decade, and everybody complains. It's like, how come it takes them a decade? And it's like, yeah, but hasn't every album been awesome? So,
well, there you go. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know,
I guess
maybe there's not a rush, but they're doing something right. So.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, I just want to see the thing come out, and but no, we need to concentrate on your work. I know about mine. I don't want to hear about mine. working on. So you definitely not. You don't want to get in a rut with the Vegas books, as you said. But I mean,
yeah.
Me, they're so fucking awesome. Just because I know it's like a window to seeing what it's like there, because I don't, you know, I don't see me going to Vegas anytime soon, you know. But
I think you'd have one hell of a time there.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, don't be deceived. I mean, I'm such a non-drinker. No, I pretty much have a good time anywhere I go, but as long as it's not home.
Yeah.
Home is not a good place, but no, yeah.
Any place that has 5-cent beers, that'd be good, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah,
big banners out front, 5-cent beers, and you think, oh, this is going to go well.
Wow. If we could have $1 mixed drinks, I would be really happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more the whiskey guy, not the beer guy. I'm definitely not the beer guy. So,
well, I heard the casinos are working on getting rid of the free drinks now.
Oh, my. You know, that figures. That sucks.
Yeah, for when you're gambling, it's like, okay, you guys don't make enough money? I mean, seriously?
Mm-hmm. God, that's so ridiculous. And they act like they're probably making more money than they ever did, and then they get stingier. That's just,
capitalist greed, right? They just continue to try to do more. But as I said, the good thing is just go across the street, get some Arco tall cans, and it's $2 a can, and you can just sit and drink to your heart's content, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, there you go. Kick ass, man. So what the hell, man? I love how this is. See, when I do a sober podcast, people always say, "Man, you sound like you're kind of off." I'm like, "Yeah, don't do anything sober. I don't recommend it." Like, I got up early in the morning and did all the normal shit that people do, and I was like, "Yeah, I got to break this cycle."
Surprised me. You're like, "Oh man, I was up this morning." I was like, "Whoa, what?"
Yeah, no, it's been weird, and it's been like 3 days of this, and I'm like, I've got to break this. See, I got to start something. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. I need to start the Pro Drinkers program. It's like, we'll keep you drinking.
Yeah.
No, man.
You just got to sit down one night and have a real good, get your drink on real good, and then guarantee you won't get up in the morning. You will get up in the afternoon.
Yeah. No, yeah, this is not the way to write. Not getting up in the... at the, you know, the butt crack of dawn and all that. No. Anyways, I was going to mention, I also was, as you were, in the newest edition of Romingo's Porch, man, which I thought was a really fucking incredible issue. I finally got mine. I'm like, yeah, wow. I love how the mail works here.
Well, I still don't have mine. I think I'm the only person who doesn't. I've seen everyone else as there. So. Oh, yeah. Canada Post, they're a bunch of fuck-ups, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just got mine yesterday, man, and really incredible issue. I really, you know, it really, 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 really admired the work in there. And, of course, you're right in there. You're two rights in there, which is fucking great. And, yeah, man, I thought, wow. I wonder what old Book would have thought of this, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's an amazing collection. They collected a whole bunch of cool writers in there.
Oh, yeah, they did. I think that was like I don't know. I would say that was, to me, just, well, because, of course, the Bukowski thing is, I just thought that was the strongest one they've had. You know, I mean, because they've all been good, but it's just that one in particular. That was like that was like the best of the best made that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing it when it comes in the mail.
Here, I thought you already had it, so I'm like, yeah, man.
No, you're the second last person to have it.
Yeah, well, there you go. At least we're in the same boat, kind of. I thought after a while, I drove the postal people crazy. Like, we've never seen you during the day this many times ever. I'm like a night creature, but it's like, no, Yeah, I drove them nuts, but yeah, I finally got it, and yeah, it is awesome, man. It definitely won't be disappointed. And I was very honored when I looked in. Right next to me was one of the Bukowski rides. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Finally, that's my biggest accomplishment, man. If you ever told me I'd share a page with him, I'd tell you were fucking nuts.
Oh,
that
that's totally awesome.
Yeah, I know. See? So, So, you may have all the awesome books, but I got right next to Bukowski.
Beat that, right?
But, yeah, not in real life. He probably would have told me to fuck off, you know?
I think he would have told us all to fuck off.
I questioned when I seen that. What did you think of the title of that? When I saw it, I was like, fuck Bukowski. I thought, well, that one kind of got me. It still gets me. I'm like, as a tribute,
well, yeah,
that's
I,
what you, but I guess he would have liked that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was sitting there because I thought, oh, man, that's a weird concept. Because I said, well, I'll send some poems, but I have poems about Bukowski, but they're all good poems. I don't have anything that says fuck Bukowski. So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, well, we'll see how this goes. And, of course, they end up being, you know, titled Fuck Bukowski, but they're, you know, poems about how Bukowski's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all, God, man, we're all pro Bukowski. We know that. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, shit, man. I definitely owe him a huge fucking debt, you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, fuck, I mean, we're all kind of like, yeah, we all have that connection, you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, I know he was a huge influence on you, huge influence on me, so it's like, you know, but that was a weird, I still thought, I wonder who came up with the concept to name it that, you know, because it was, but I had to be in there when I heard there was going to be Bukowski rights in there, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had to be in there,
yeah.
So, it is, and it's cool, man, share a page with you as well. I've been lucky enough to share a page with you more than once. So,
yeah,
it's,
awesome.
You know, twice, but yeah, that's more than once.
Hey, you're good at math like I am.
No, I am the absolute, that's why when you asked me if page count, I'm like, the book's like all on my phone. It's like, where do you keep, you know, I hate to tell anybody, I probably have to do more work off of a phone since the book kind of disappeared, but you got to understand the book was on the computer, and the computer
yeah.
kind of disappeared with the person. So there you go. That's a story in itself.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's like, yeah, it is. But hey, if you're going to get it done, man. You
yeah.
know, like, don't let anything stop you. You know,
nope.
That's the main thing when it comes to anything. If you want it done, you'll get it done. But, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, there's
you know,
enough people
so,
that talk about doing stuff but don't do it, right? So if you're,
well,
going to do it, then go do it.
I guess it's fair, but God, you got to look at people like, geez, man, look at you. You're always pushing your work out there. I mean, do you ever get tired? Man, what is the formula for you that you just like a machine, man? And that's a compliment. But like
math, it works miracles.
Everyone
should try it. Everyone should be on meth, take apart your television, and write a bunch of poems.
Oh, that's the secret. I didn't know that. What?
Yep.
I thought it was the booze. The whiskey seems to help me, but no.
No, if you want to be more consistent, you got to cook up your own meth and just go and party.
Wow. This is such
that's the
show.
Secret to a long literary career.
Right, that's a good secret to success. Now I know how you crank out so many rights. Yeah, you got Bukowski beat. Imagine what he would have. Oh, my God, that would have been a scary combination. Because, I mean, you know, he wasn't always
oh, yeah.
known to be the friendliest human being on earth. You know,
no.
So can't imagine wired 24 hours a day freaking out, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you'd need a tweaking Bukowski. That would be
good. Imagine that book. The beats
the LAPD would
that.
Be scared to show up at his house.
God. You know, it's so weird. I can't imagine. You know, like, all these people who are fans of him, I can't, like, if he was literally alive, and you could meet him, would you want to?
Probably not.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I wouldn't do it.
And he
like,
wouldn't want to meet me either. So.
No, that's the thing. You have to know. He really, no. It's like, yeah, I'm a fan of you. Okay. Fuck off.
It's like, well, when we went out, me and my wife went out to L.A. there, and we went to San Pedro, Book's grave and everything, and paid our respects or whatever. But, you know, we're sitting there, and I've seen people before where they're talking about, oh, there's Book's house. We should go ring the doorbell. And, you know, I'm sure you've read the Book's poems where they show up at his house all the time, right? And, you know, you're sitting there, it's like, you realize Linda lives there, right, with cats, like a real person lives there? So, you know, show some respect and stay away from, you know.
That's the thing. I never had the thing where I thought, you know, I enjoyed someone's art. Let me go pester the shit out of them. You know, I never thought I had entitled to do that. That's just, to me, bad manners. And that just permeates this world right now. You know, I never would have ever done something like that. Because, I like the work. But that's the thing. That's out there. That's for you to have. That, you know, buy it, read it many times as you want. But don't. Why in the hell do you think? Oh, I've read this person. They're my best friend. It's like when people were chasing Salinger all the time. You know, and talk about somebody who was a recluse.
Yeah. People at the bottom of the hill at his house there waiting for him. And.
Yeah. Exactly.
But you know, it's like, oh, well, I really dig Guns N' Roses music, but I'm not going to go hang out at Axl's house.
No. Now, that's one person I can guarantee would not take you hanging outside of his house.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to say he's a little bit of a prick, but, you know, but then again, what you know, I don't know what it is with people now. Maybe it is because of the internet, man. People just have this weird sense that they think they know people or they can, you know, it's like there's almost no privacy. But then you say, well, do you blame the artists themselves because they're on Twitter, they're on, you know. this is the only society we have that you can get into a Twitter war with the president, at least in this country, in the morning.
Yep.
You know.
And our guy up here, he's just more concerned about his hair.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's important.
So, yeah, we got this guy. He just plays with his hair, and you got a guy you can get in Twitter wars with now. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, he usually only argues with celebrities like Demi Lovato because that's very important to argue with teen idol type people or whatever the hell she is. I don't know. I don't listen to that stuff. So, you know.
And that's why I laugh when people do a lot of the political stuff, right? You see all the political commentary and political poems.
I
always hate that bullshit because it's useless, you know. Everyday women and men, you know, how does that help them at all? It doesn't. Politics, bullshit, and it makes life worse for people. So, like we were talking about earlier, you know, if you can inject humor into your work and give someone a good laugh, that's way more valuable than any of this political bullshit, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we both like to entertain, and I'm definitely not. I mean, I look at me. You really want me to give you a political view? I mean, the guy that, you know, just drinks whenever the alley, well, usually. I'm just saying. I'm not always sober, so don't lose hope in me, audience. But, you know, that's just thinking your opinion matters. So, you know, mine doesn't. You know, I write, and that's what I want. I want people to read it and want to enjoy it, but no, I don't have any desire to be a politician because I don't see where the hell that's going to help anybody, you know.
that's not when has it ever helped right anybody now. But the politicians, right?
Yeah, exactly. But no. You know, one thing does crack me up, man. I've seen more than one person try to get you into these Facebook challenges. And it's they might as well give the fuck up because I know what the answer is going to be because no mas.
Nope. Yeah, I don't have time for it. You know, like I said, I find it interesting what people post. If it's stuff like when it was their albums that have influenced them, I found that interesting because big music fan, so I want to see what people would post.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I don't have time. To do it, or the attention span either. It's just, the mess gets in the way.
Yeah, I'm not, I just, you know what, it's great. I mean, Facebook in a way, it's great because I met a lot of awesome writers, a lot of cool people, man. But for the longest time, honestly, if I wasn't doing writing, I wouldn't be on there. because it's just not—it's not my life. Like where some people, like especially where I live, I think it's hilarious, and people will like post pictures of their food, and I was like, who gives a shit about this stuff? You know, I'm like, I just don't feel the urge to share everything with the world because it's like, you know, I mean, don't be deceived. I mean, sure, you know, the house at Martha's Vineyard's just exquisite, but you know. I don't live the, you know, the fabulous life that anybody would really want to be fascinated with. Like, wow, I'm at the store buying alcohol. Big surprise.
You don't want them to know the exact name of your yacht, you know?
Yeah, that's true. On a private plane. When I come fly to Canada to come visit.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing with the, like you said, it's the double-sided thing, right? And I agree with you. If I wasn't writing, I wouldn't be on there either. Because of what you just said. But and the other side of it though is when you were on there, you meet so many cool people that are writing or artists or editors or whatever, and that's the cool side of it, you know. And there's a lot of people out there doing cool things. The downside, as you said, is the other one where, you know, okay, well there's your dinner. Picture of your dinner posted. Well, you know. Okay. It is what it is.
Like, isn't that fascinating? It's so enthralling that you eat just like another human being, you know? It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't understand. It's like, I just, like, I admire people, but I don't worship them. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, they're all just people. Even when it comes to Bukowski, he was just a person that I would never in my right mind ever, if he was alive, ever try to bother. Because, I mean, he clearly wrote about he didn't like people. I don't know if people think it's a joke, you know. That's what doesn't make any sense to me. Sometimes people don't understand that you're telling them the truth. You know, you're giving, like, the you know. It's not easy just to bare your soul there, and I mean, to a degree, I mean, with Ryan. But when people read it, I mean, it's who you are, I think. I think when you read me, you definitely know, you know, I'm a joker. That's the way I am. I'm not the most social person.
Well, that's the thing. You know? you can get all these things from the poems, right? So you know you get to know the person really well through these little bits. You know, is it totally 100% honest all the time? No, but is it pretty much?
Not.
Yeah, and in pieces. You know, so you get, like you said, that you know that you're big on humor, that music's a big influence. You're not an overly social person. You get all these things, like you said, in Book reading. You can see time and again he was very antisocial. He didn't like people.
No.
So, no, I don't want to go see him because I'd imagine he'd have some unfavorable things to say about me. And
Well, I mean, in a way, it'll be kind of good. Like, I think if he was his just enormous kiss ass, it would ruin it. You know, I don't think he was a rude person. You know, like when you watch some interviews with him, I don't think he was a rude person. He was just very, I think, in some ways, also greatly shy. Like when he tried to do readings, you know, he's like throwing up and shit. You know, like
that's the thing, right? He has to read in front of people, and he's out in the parking lot throwing up between cars because he's so nervous. You know.
And we talked about not being. I'm definitely not a fan of doing readings, and it's not. It's great if people do, you know, but I can't ever find them natural. You know, I don't.
Like I've seen a few that do readings and they're amazing at them. They're like amazing readers.
Yeah.
I know that's not me, man. I'd be like, you know, Mr. Monotone Marty and you know.
you're good at reading. I mean I remember I watched the one time one read you did and that was over Skype for
the
Mad Swirl.
Yeah.
And you did good, man. It's like, so you can do it. I mean, there's certain people with me, for some reason, I can speak well, but I always have to fight my urge to cut. When I get nervous, I joke. So I have to, you know, it's no different than when I did that right that was like a, you know, like a nod to you. It's the same way I am. If I got up there, I'm going to say something, and then the people who are like dead serious, because I understand it's serious, but you know, you got to have a fucking sense of humor. You'll hurt yourself. And it's, I have to joke. I can't just, you know, and the people who take it serious, dead serious, they either like me or they hate me, right?
And that's the thing too.
Yeah.
You know it in your head too, right? When you're doing it, so you get more nervous because you know that it's only a matter of time until you say the joke that finally sets everyone off.
Oh yeah. Man,
you look
at
around
and
you're
know.
Like, my time is running out. When am I going to finally say the one that makes the guillotine drop?
I'm always waiting. I'm nervous as shit when I do these podcasts. But, I mean, I know, from writing back and forth and talking, man, you know, it is cool. It's more relaxed. You know, I do consider you a friend, and that's true, man. But it's not natural. None of this stuff's natural, you know. What's natural about we're going to do a show tonight? And, you know, it's like, no. It's not a natural thing, and everybody's doing them now. And now there's a couple more out. There's even one on another on Blog Talk who, I don't know if you've heard it. I think, was it Rob Flapp is doing it? They call it Round the Razors, where it's just, they're just doing like
the rapid fire
reading.
Poems.
Yeah, man, it's like, I couldn't do that. You know, I respect that they can do that. I couldn't do it, you know.
I listened to it, and it freaked the shit out of me, because I was like, holy shit, that's cool, you guys doing rapid fire, but it's like, man, it's like getting hit by bullets.
When you get a
cool poets on there, and they're reading these poems back and forth, it's like you're getting riddled with bullets. Like, holy shit, man, and rapid fire, you're right.
it is, and it's like completely different from what I do, because I just, you know, I don't know what the hell this show is, but... I just, no, it's just...
Well, I love this platform because it's just relaxed, just friends talking, right? So you can shoot the shit.
Yeah, well, it's just like, I look at it like we're sitting down, man, and something would tell me we'd probably have a couple drinks. That's how, you know, because I don't get to hang out. What my thing is, well, when I started writing, and I always kind of, I would read about all these legendary writers and artists that would always be in these communities. They all hung out together. And I thought, man, it's fucking awesome, you know. And then, it's like, as you're a kid, you think that's how it's going to be. And the reality, you learn, no. You know, it's like all a bunch of recluses that don't, you know. And, you know, like you said, man, geography is it's a bitch, man. We're just all, you know, even the people I would hang out with are just, we're all so far apart. And it that's why I kind of wanted this to be like, we're sitting at the bar, we're just shooting the shit. Because this is how I am, this is how I talk. You know, when I act up and on other shows once, you know, I hate to tell people, there were two other shows before this one that just went, one where I was, let's say, in the green room a little too long, and the other one where the guest was in the green room too long. And that was, that was interesting. That was the very young editor of the Dope Fiend Daily once, you know.
Scott.
I don't think that's all an act.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that was...
Yeah,
that was
I read the books you did, too, I'm sure, growing up, and you hear the stories about, you know, Paris and Hemingway and Joyce and all them together. And, or the Beats all hanging out in Algiers and everything in Mexico.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, that's totally awesome. That's what happens. And like you said, you learned quickly, no, that's not what it's like at all.
Yeah. They really did romanticize it, man. They made it look...
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, and that's another thing, man. I know we talked about Bukowski, but I mean, people like Hemingway. Were you influenced by Salinger? Were you into The Catcher in the Rye, or no? I mean, a lot of
I always like Salinger and Catcher in the Rye. I know people over there. I say, it was good in high school, but you outgrow it or whatever. I don't know. I still like it. And
I don't know why anybody would say that, because I think it's still it's a book that just resonates. You know, he hit a very solid book out of the park, and even though it connects with crazy people really well, but
there does seem to be a large number.
That's the weird thing. You ever worry about that? I mean, that's a goofy question, but why not ask it? You ever worry that, you know, somebody like reads something and they take it completely the wrong way, and like, you know, they use it but they go do some fucked up shit, you know, like you're their hero. That's kind of weird. I don't know.
I think our one saving grace is that we're writing poetry, right? Now, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm wrong and they are just that crazy. But I always think, you know, okay, well, we're not in like the biggest booming market.
No.
So I'd imagine the crazies will pick like some, like, you know, music, cool musician, or some actor in a movie like taxi driver or something, right? And
yeah,
they'll go for that instead of, you know, poetry. I don't imagine.
No.
There's a large
yeah, I
market,
guess.
But
that would be unique. They'd have to actually then the people would be in. It would be like almost a weird advertisement for us. It's like, wow, who's this person they're talking about? It's like, no, I mean, hell, man, you're known. I mean, it's, but still, I guess that I just think it's weird. You never know how people are going to connect to your work. I mean, because
yeah.
I mean, we've all had somebody who was a little off center. You know,
yeah.
Hell, I'm very off center, so I just happen to be right also. Yeah, but that's
well,
the thing.
I think they confuse the two, right? Like, there's no problem with connecting with the work. I mean, that's what we all did when we found Book and a whole bunch
yeah.
of other ones, right? And that's
yeah.
what you should do when you find it, you connect with it, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you confuse connecting with the work with connecting with the person that you've never met, right?
Yeah. That's definitely true. And obviously you've had somebody connect with you because they tried to pick you up. So, I mean,
yeah.
I'm jealous. I didn't have anybody try to pick me up. They just send me karaoke videos in the middle of the fucking night, you know. When you're like really
buzzed, I'm kind of jealous of that
music.
One because like karaoke
well,
videos is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he really wasn't a bad singer either. That was like, you know, like I'm half buzzed listening to music anyways. I was like, hey, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's crazy, but hey.
There it is though, right? There's your perspective and the humor in it. You're looking at it and you're going, oh, you know, he's completely batshit crazy, but he's got a nice singing voice.
It's like, yeah, I'm not like, this is not American Idol. I'm not Simon Cowell. I can't help you. I think if we were in the music business, we'd definitely be a lot happier now.
Yep.
But the rewards are, yeah, I think being a rock star will always still be, you know, even though I think that, I hate to say it, I think with music, that might be a thing. That term is definitely a thing of the past. You know,
yeah,
I think so. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not saying people breaking out their acoustic guitars is not, you know, well, it's not. it's not rocking. Jesus, man.
Megadeth Unplugged.
Oh, wow, that would be just so entertaining.
Yeah.
God.
Like, come on, guys, just go. Oh. Pump it up.
Yeah, everybody. Throw the frisbee around and wear flip-flops. And it's just, yeah, the state of music. I don't know why the hell I'm going on that, but I know we're both music freaks. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's fucking sad, to be honest. There's just not, you know, it's less and less fucking diversity, you know,
in
music. One thing to say about with right, we got lots of diversity in our genre, but not so in music anymore. You know,
yeah, I'm not worried about the writing side at all. There's plenty of cool writers doing different things, but music-wise, it's just you know, it's pretty stale.
Yeah, so you may be just listening to all the stuff that kicked ass that you connected with, you know.
Oh yeah,
you know,
put
when
on
the
some
music
Zeppelin
was good, or are you listening to anything new, man?
Well, always try to find new things. Like you mentioned, Ghost the other day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got to check that out. And, you know, you're always on the lookout for it. That's how I came to Brian Jonestown Massacre a few years ago. And,
oh, yeah.
White Stripes were cool and found them. But really, mostly it's just old stuff holding you over until that, right? You still listen to all the classics, you know, Deep Purple and Sabbath and Zeppelin and GNR and Nine Inch Nails, everything like that. We talked about Ministry. But,
oh God, yeah. I'm definitely that's one guy I have to say though that I probably don't give credit to. That was a big influence because you talk about a guy that just didn't give a fuck about
Jorgensen.
That guy is and highly intelligent dude. I mean, the thing is, highly intelligent to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Well, at one time, I mean, he's kind of, you know, I think he gave the heroin and all that stuff up a long time ago, but.
Yeah, no.
But then again, you know, the albums just haven't been the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was so
and they're
it,
very.
I've seen the
new shows too on YouTube or whatever, and they're all political, right? Very political, which is the kind of the climate now. It's what people are doing.
Yeah.
And you know, but I like the traditional Ministry stuff, of course.
Yeah, I mean, when it was. That was more, yeah. I mean, when I was more into like Just One Sex and all that, that stuff was all just.
Yeah, Stigmata, Land of Rape and Honey. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was all, what was another album that they did? A Beautiful Mind, Terrible Thing to Taste.
Yep.
I think that was it. It's just fucking incredible, man. I loved it. It was like anti-music in a way, and it was just so harsh and crazy. But art is never safe. And I hate it when anything it's like cookie cutter and cutesy, it just doesn't, So there you go. The only kind of stuff that I don't want is the whiskey, Grandma's Pond.
We talked about Ministry's documentary Fix, right? If you want to really balls to the wall behind the scenes of, furthest thing from cookie cutter.
Oh, yeah, man. That's something I watch and fucking I love that. And that's definitely, anybody that does ever check that out is we're talking about writing. And I'm going to tell people to watch documentaries on music. But hey, it's all art, so there you go, man.
Well, it's important, right? Because, I know when I'm writing something, before I write a lot of times, I'll listen to Ministry and Nine Inch Nails and things beforehand to get in the mood, right?
Yeah. You always said it, man. I do. I mean, when it comes to, with a couple cocktails, too, I'm not going to lie. Whatever works, man. And so, I mean, primarily when you're writing, man, what is it? Is it, are you going to have a couple beers or no?
Oh, yeah, I'll drink beer or wine and then just write to that. And whenever the beer or wine runs out, I guess I'm done. And that's basically how it goes. And music beforehand, music's always important. Like you said, everybody has a different system. Some do coffee and certain music, whatever it is, cigarettes. People do, and then just do what works, right? Find what works and do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's whatever the hell does work for you, as long as it ain't becoming a serial killer or something. Then I think you're pretty much all right.
I skin some people before I write. I just can't write a poem unless I skin someone.
That would be so. See, that's fucking hilarious, man. That's definitely going to be right in there somewhere, because that's part of your process. That would be some fucked up shit, but,
He'd be like the Silence of the Lambs guy.
I've never met a sane writer, though.
I'm putting a book together right now, but before I write, I have to build a suit of women. Okay, Silence of the Lambs, good job. And I have to make sure Precious is there with me.
Ever. Why'd the population in your town go down, though? It makes no sense every time a book comes out.
Yeah, they really don't want you to put out a new book.
It's like, no, please, it was a masterpiece. We'll buy like 10 more. Please, shut up. Don't encourage him. God, man. Oh, man. Did you ever, getting close to wrapping this up, try different genres, man, of going because I'm like right now I'm kind of trying to work on a new, because I'm not being driven crazy enough with the whiskey. I kind of want to start another one, so I'm kind of trying to get like a dark, almost like, a dark writing horror type stuff going, because there's, I just kind of love that. It's like not HST, but did you ever try to different genres? Were you ever kind of fascinated with doing that, or just never, you just have your niche and that's it?
Yeah, I don't do it, but I know, I don't know if you've heard of them, Spelked, or I think it's called, it's a bunch of horror writers, basically, right? Horror genre.
Uh-huh.
And I read a bunch of their stuff, and it's very cool, but I've never tried it, and I don't plan on trying. I read their stuff, but apparently the whole big genre out there, it's pretty popular. And, I've never done it.
I've always liked kind of like the dark art and stuff like that, and and not necessarily horror, just horror writing. I just really want to see a mag out there that's all dedicated to any kind of thing, almost like a theme, because I had the whiskey, so it'd be kind of stupid if I started another one that's just a just another bar. It would make no sense. Bar themed mag would be like, what the hell are you trying to do, franchise? I'm going to be the McDonald's easing people. I'm going to chains everywhere.
You have your fashion line.
Yeah. And if I have somebody that's into fashion, so I'll talk to him.
You have a connection there.
The only thing is, like, he sent me like some of the emblems and stuff, and I said I didn't want to say anything, but they were oddly reminiscent of another great writer who definitely was just as colorful as Bukowski, but he had a great love of guns. So I really don't think I would even try to, you know, just say an old hunter himself. I don't think I would, I don't think I would mess with that. That's a pretty established brand, you know.
Yeah. Another genre kind of goes over with the horror one was the crime writers. They do like the pulp or the noir crime fiction.
Yeah, noir. Yeah.
And I was read a lot of that stuff too that the people put out, and it's pretty cool. But I haven't tried any of them myself.
Really,
I guess the closest I got was the Worm book that I did with Ben and Rich, where it's kind of like a messed up future dystopian and mystery.
Yeah,
thing,
that is
right?
That is so cool, man, the way you all did that. But that's just something I couldn't even tackle that, man. I do like noir, and I'd kind of like to write in that style, and I've done kind of little pieces. It's like, hell, before HST changed format or whatever was going on over there, I had All Saints come out, and that to me was like a noir, right? Almost. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not no expert in that field, but, and that thing took like a year to find a fucking home, so... I don't know if I'll be doing any more anytime soon.
I had a poem that did that. It was like where you write something and you think, oh, that's pretty cool, I like that, so you send it out, but it keeps getting rejected like I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
And it's like that.
Yeah.
It takes like a huge amount of time to find a home, and you're like, fuck, man, I must be fucked up then. I guess no one else likes this, but I really dig this.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like when you know it's good. And yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely even say that to younger writers is when you really know it's good. I mean, don't be nuts and think you're doing the greatest thing on earth. But when you know it's good, don't give up on it, because there's always going to be somewhere that if you stay diligent, there's enough markets that open up, you know, and the zines open and they close. But there's always somewhere that will dig it, usually, if it's good, you know.
Yeah.
That would be the saying, you know, but
and like you said earlier, if you're starting out, know your market. Don't do like we did with the old school, you know, you get the compendium of all the presses and you submit to all the university and academic presses and
get
cards back. And
I did you name them, I submitted to them. You said, most, I think the intelligent ones don't even write back. They're like, no.
Yeah, most of them I never heard back from.
No, but then every now and then, I remember I had one, they sent me all the, because, you know, you do have the self-addressed, you know, stamped envelope, you know, so they can return your work. That way you can send it out to somebody else. Well, I had one do that, and he X'd through every poem. Just a big X on each page. And I thought, what a fucking dick. But, you know, his magazine's out of business, so...
So he was so impressed with the work, he just decided to put giant X's through it.
It was crap. I'm being honest, man. I'm not saying I'm great now. I just, at least I understand more of the direction I need to go and where things need to be. I know how to, at least I know how to make people laugh. I do know I know how to do that. And,
well, you learn as you go along, right? You learn what you do and where you're coming from. I think you become more comfortable in your own skin, right? And you just do it then.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, it's all a learning process. That's the thing, man. Even for that would definitely be a thing for young writers. It's all an experience and learning process. You can't, we all go through it and we still go through it. You know, I know you're in a ton of places, man, but I mean, I wouldn't think you find rejection that often. I'm just saying, I don't think there's many people going to turn your work down.
Oh, I've had my fair share. But, you know, we all, like you said, we all do, right? And that's part of it, too, is you've got to learn to deal with rejection. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't anyway. I mean, if you live in this world, how many times you've gone and applied for jobs. I'm sure you've been rejected a whole shitload of times, right?
Oh, definitely. You know.
Go to a bar if you want to be rejected. Go to a dance club. You can be rejected anywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, no, I mean, the whole rejection thing is just, I just find a lot of them funny. And to me, a lot of the new places that pop up, you get a lot of really cool, good people. The people have been doing it a long time. They know how to handle their, you know, even when they're rejected, they do it with, you know, class. You know, I got into the coolest place I got into more recently was when I got into Rasputin, once I know you've been in there. The nicest rejection I ever got was the first time I submitted to Rasputin. Joe Milford sent me the nicest rejection letter I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, I looked at what I sent him, and it definitely didn't work. You know, when you look at the quality of the mag and everything, no, it didn't work. So I understood it. And it was nice, and then I sent to him again, and he got into the second time. But
and that's the way it's supposed to go, right? There's a way to do things, the right way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can send a nice rejection, and you know it's not a fit, and then the person knows, but they also learn, like you said, everything's a learning experience, and then they send stuff again that is a fit, and that's how it goes.
But that's the main thing, man. You know, I think that's how I learned it. You know, I don't, like you said, I'm not a fucking editor, man. I guess I have to call myself that.
Yeah, you're full-time editor now.
Yeah, well, I know, unfortunately. No, I enjoy it, man. I love running whiskey, but, you know, that's the thing. I just learned from the people that were cool. That's the main thing, man, you know. It's like, to me, you couldn't get a cooler. I always say the coolest editor ever was Ben. But that kind of spoiled me because that's a different experience with Ben. You know, Ben is not your average editor.
No, but that's the good approach, though, right? For like the cool joints like whiskey, and then the ones that'll be out there continuing it. That's what you do, right?
Yeah, you have to.
And we all came up through HST in a way, so you know, kind of learn from that.
Yeah, that's the thing. HST will be. I mean, you know, the HST. Like I said, I hope they do get it on a different platform because it would be a real, real shame to not, you know, for writers not to have that. Because I mean, hell, I'd always want to be there. But I mean, yeah, just for people who want to start out too, that's a great place to try. They are definitely receptive. You know, they're not going to shoot you down if you're the, you know, you're the odd duck, so to speak. I know
they like the odd duck.
Yeah. People look at that with the whiskey, and I thought, God, that was another brainstorm, man. That's when you're supposed to say, John, you're being fucking retarded, you know, or you're being stupid. I'm getting told for that one, but you know, the whole thing, I'm gonna be anonymous. I'm gonna be the anonymous duck. It was like, yeah, that didn't last.
About 2 days.
Yeah, it lasts 2 days, and it's what KW up, and then it was like, yeah, it was one thing John Patrick Robbins. I was like, shit.
I think Kevin Peary was the first one, right? He put up the poem, and then you editor.
He thanked me and everything. Had a really cool thing up there, and I was like, oh, God, man. But then again, also, I don't think I told him. It's like, you know, some of my great brain, I'm one of those people that when I drink, you need to hide my phone. You know, because I get these really great ideas, and then just like some of those writes I get, if I showed you some of them unedited, it's like there's a good concept there somewhere, but it's like you need a decoder ring to understand it. I'm not, you know, the whiskey gets speaking a little bit too much.
There's that bad sober area, and then there's that sweet spot when you're having the drinks and it's all cool, and then there's that point where you go too far and it's drooly time.
Yeah, then I'm right. Because, I mean, it has to be a balance, you know, just like, I know, like you said, man, when you're writing, we're not getting, like, we're not talking about, like, getting shit-faced and writing stuff. And, you know, we just want to kind of get that nice, mellow, I don't know about you, man, but just that nice, mellow buzz. You got the music, everything's, you know, like a good energy, I guess people would say, going. Not like, oh, man, we're going to have another drink, you know. It's not bad.
I'm gonna start writing on my 26th beer. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. It's still going to be
tough.
Well,
I have the inability to type now, and I've fallen over my desk, so it's not going so well.
Yeah, we'll see. That's yeah. You have your whole office to write, don't you?
Yeah. Set up a private space.
Yeah. How is the lair of Ryan Quinn? Do we have a bunch of cool shit set up and everything, or is it just a normal office?
Yeah, it's pretty ordinary. There's, you know, bookshelves. Keep all my books in there. Jim Morrison calendar. Big
Kurt
Cobain poster. Just
cool shit
that you like, right?
Yeah, I was
a big
say,
giant redneck shot glass that's the size of like a malt glass.
Yeah.
Got it down in Alabama. It says a redneck shot glass, and of course, like the smallest one is like what a Yankee drinks, and then it goes up to like full blown redneck.
That's fucking funny, man. I knew it had to be. I didn't believe it could be. There's no way that it was just going to be fucking ordinary, man. It's like, I remember one time when I was like a kid, I don't know. They used to have the, I can't remember. It was on TV. It was the, like Ray Bradbury Theater, and you used to always show him going to this huge fucking, like, it was like a workshop, and he had his desk where you could barely see the desk itself, but he had tons of, like, toys and crazy shit. I thought, yeah, that's what being a writer is like. I was just enamored. I don't know why. I was enamored with writers, and I knew that's what I wanted to do.
I saw some site that was really cool like that. It was they were showing what writers' rooms, desks look like, or their writing areas.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was the coolest idea, like just to look at them, right? Because you get enamored with the process and what these writers are doing. But like you said, it's a lot of it's these weird trinkets or things that they find in their personal life, and it ends up, you know, it looks pretty weird after a while.
Yeah. It does. It's cramped. I mean, my whole thing was, I don't ask you why now, but I have, like I said, I have the infatuation with bars. So yeah, I do write at a bar. That's my desk is, like quite literally. But it was just like I guess people call them man caves or whatever. But it's just a small little bar that everybody, all my friends used to hang out with, and I just pull up a bar stool, and that's where I write. So there you go. That's why everything I write is about. The minute I started writing about, like, flowers and puppy dogs and ponds, I'm done.
That'll be the day that someone brought a vase of flowers to the bar. You know, why is he writing about flowers? Well, he's not in a field of flowers. He's at the bar, so they must have brought some flowers to the bar.
That's my thing. I got I think we all, though, do whatever. Like, I am bad. I'm, like, a stereotype. But like I said, I don't know. You know, I learned from really bad examples of stuff that really wasn't real, you know? You know, it'd be like if all you did when you were a kid is study the hair bands and think that's the way life was going to be when you grew up. It's like, no.
Yeah. I wonder why some of the kids in the 90s were pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, life wasn't you big hair metal, and you didn't do cocaine off a bunch of hookers, and that wasn't every day.
I know. I was kind of disappointed. I just told the secret of
you found out you had to get a job. And
yeah, I thought it was going to be like, you know, I was influenced so much. It's weird because I had the influences. Well, not really. I think we all did. But I was so influenced by people, like I said, like Lemmy Kilmister, once to this day. Him and Tom Waits. Which is kind of a weird mix. I can't quite imagine those two hanging together. But
The cool thing, though, is they both have great humor in their work, right? And they're like jokers if you hear them.
Yeah. Lemmy definitely, man, because I've got tons of pictures of the bar of Lemmy, was definitely, and Tom Waits, of course, because, you know, talk about God's sharp wit. But they both did. They both did have great humor. And, of course, I guess that's, you know, it takes everything kind of, you know, forges you. And then, of course, got into Picasso, got into a guy that I could never mention enough is Richard Brautigan.
Brautigan. Talk about humor and work.
My friend, who was like a real brother to me, whoever, you know, put up a write about him, Robert, in the time past, he was the one that turned me on to Brautigan. I had never heard of him, and, you know, just handed me a book, and that was it, you know. And that's a cool thing, man, when people can turn you on to, you know, great writers and stuff like that. And that's
and that's how it's supposed to go, right, is people pass it along, word of mouth, and you see these, and you get these books and stuff like that. And that's how it was when I came across Brautigan, too. And, man, I love his stuff. He's got such humor in his work. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's just nobody like Brogdon, man. I just, that's and a guy that you don't, well, I mean, he's a legend, of course, but I just think that you don't hear enough of, honestly, you know, because, I mean, everybody knows Book, but there is a group of definitely young kids and stuff that could definitely benefit from being turned on to his way of, you know, because he's just talking about being free.
Yeah.
Brogdon was, you know, he was just as much a wild man, you know, in my book. But, you know, anyways, no, man, it's just, yeah, that's just awesome, man. But like I said, man, you can always see influences and everything else. Is there any kind of weird influence that people probably wouldn't kind of associate with you? Like some person that really did influence you, but nobody would probably guess it.
Probably Bjork.
Really? Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Bjork. Yeah, I wouldn't in a million years guess that one. So
I love Bjork. Thought, man, you talk about someone pushing the artistic.
Well, definitely free. One thing I can say, you teach you to just not have no fear. Because that definitely is. It's like total art. That's not, you know, that was like we were talking about the wall, man. When you said it fucks you up in a good way. That was one that I remember when I first seen it. Was like, what the fuck? When you're really young. I don't know why. I probably shouldn't have been watching that movie, but I just thought it was awesome. You know, it's like a great action that, or maybe a bad one, but yeah. So
it's one of those ones where it's so good, there's no drugs needed. You could sit and watch the world and kick ass. It's amazing.
Yeah, you do not need, you don't need drugs to enjoy art. That's for damn sure. You know, you might need a couple cocktails, but just let's not go crazy here, Ryan. Sobriety, what is this of what you speak of?
We're not the temperance movement here.
No. No one's ever going to associate that with me. If somebody said, wow, John's going to church now and doesn't drink, and that would be I guess the whiskey isn't running anymore.
John's bringing back prohibition, so there's something wrong.
Yeah. He's lost his mind. He drank one too many cocktails. No, man, that is true. But, yeah, the influence, that is cool when you know, I know that everybody kind of always assumes, you know, certain people, when you look at styles and everything, like you can definitely see the Bukowski in there in your work. And I would even say the Brogdon, too. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
The way you go. Because sometimes you are, man. You're, like, surrealistic sometimes. That's what's cool, man. I would love to see a novel from you. I really would, man. I mean, you got to write more than 3 pages, though.
Yeah. Does 3 pages count as a novella?
It's a novella.
A short novel?
Yeah. Send that one over.
Three-page novel.
Send that one over to the publisher and see how they go with that one. It's like, wow. You know, was this a pamphlet?
Yep. Under the sales pitch, you guys can save on paper.
Yeah. Oh, man. So who is I'm going to ask one more question, man. Out of all the publishers you've worked with, because I know you've worked with, you've got books everywhere, man. Who is the coolest out of all of them?
Oh, man. That's a hard question. There's a lot of publishers.
Well, it doesn't have to just be one. Like, some people that are really cool to work with.
Interior Noise, Dave Bates, he was awesome to work with, but he's not doing it anymore. So
no,
that's one. Obviously, Alien Buddha, we talked about them.
Yeah.
Red Fox, the totally cool.
Yeah.
And,
You
know, they put out awesome stuff. Peasky's Porch,
really
Mark, who's Mark's affiliated with Catfish and Mendez with Romingo's Porch. And, there's just a shitload of them.
Yeah. Everyone that just was a nightmare, yeah. I mean, I'm not asking names, but one that you just like, fuck, man. You just, you know, we just took forever and just drove you nuts.
You know, you get, like you said, you get the good and the bad, but you just, with those ones, obviously, you just don't work. with the McCann, right? If you had a very bad experience, and you find the ones that you do work with. Oh, yeah, Weasel, too. Weasel Press is another good one.
Yeah, Weasel, yeah. They've definitely got some great stuff out there. I know Steven's got work. He's another one's got work everywhere, too.
Steven's incredible. He has a book out with them. I think he did with Peasky's Porch as well.
Yeah, he did. And, of course, Alien Buddha. Everything comes back to Alien Buddha, man. I think everybody
publishes. Yeah, Red's turning out stuff crazy. You talk about going at full speed.
He is awesome. He really is. You know, and hopefully I'll be annoying him with one of my submissions soon. So, it's like you've been warned. Like, oh,
you're putting out a warning.
I like to give a warning before I send my work in. They're like, what in the fuck is this? It's like, yeah, it's written on crayon, but I'd say it's really good, man.
I used each color in the crayon box. So it's
fancy box. I had the one with the sharpener. Oh, hell, man. You know, man, it is always kick-ass to talk to you, man, and I really do appreciate you doing the show. I know that, you know, I don't want to hold you up all damn day long, but any work you want to plug, man, because I know you've got work everywhere, and it's hard to keep up with, but feel free to go ahead and plug it while you got the chance, eh?
I don't know. I know you mentioned the new Vegas book through Alien Buddha. And there's a book coming out in the next few weeks with Leaf Garden called Tigers in the Tall Grass, Panthers in the Street. And a book coming out probably in the next few days, or it is, I don't know, with Marathon Books called Ramen Times.
All right. Cool, man. And, of course, everybody go check those books and get those books because, man, anytime you get a book of Ryan's, you always, you know, puts everything into him, man. He kicks ass majorly.
Yeah, thanks so much,
man. Hey, man, it's just the truth, man. I mean, I'd be honest, like I said, I do consider you a friend, man, and you just, if anybody wants to, you know, you want to look to how you should act as a fucking writer, you're a great example, man, because you've got a ton of work out there. You could have an ego bigger than the damn sun, but you don't, man. And that's what I admire about you, man. You're a cool dude, man. You're cool. You'd be a cool person to sit there and have a drink with. And I mean that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Same thing. Like I said, true friend, and love to sit down and have drinks sometime, man.
Well, you know, we will sometime, and then I can show you all of my karaoke videos that I have.
That will be fun.
On my phone.
Maybe you'll have the fashion line by then, too.
Yeah, I have the fashion line, and then, you know, like I said, they don't try to solicit me like, you know, the way that, you know, your audience tries to come meet you. Well, they don't really, you know, that's kind of lazy. I would be kind of pissed off if they didn't want to meet me the whole way. They don't want, you had to go like a, what, 5 hours away or some shit? That's ridiculous. How rude of them. That's when you say, you know who I am? You show up at my door, you lazy bastard.
Yeah, make sure you bring a big gun. I don't want to be shot by one of those small ones.
Yeah, that would suck. No, man, I want some, like, crazy shit. I want, like, one of these people's, like, some, like, complete fan person of, like, Game of Thrones. They're going to bring a sword. I mean, how many people get, you know, chopped up by, you know, like, some broadsword? That would be awesome. Well, maybe not.
Bring some samurai sword to your death by samurai sword. And you thought the coyotes would get you.
No, it was the fanboy of Game of Thrones. Yeah, he had to take it back to the south. Yeah, there I'd speak against them. Jesus Christ. You know, I love how professional the show is. And, man, I really appreciate you doing the show and putting up with my absolute insanity because, like I said, I don't know why you did the show. But I'm glad you do, man. And you.
Oh, I love it, man. Big respect.
No, man. Right back at you, brother. Man, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up, man. Ryan, I want to thank you for being on the show, man. Really appreciate it. And like I said, always pick up his books. It doesn't matter what book you pick up, you're always getting a good one. So I appreciate you being on my show, man.
Yeah, thanks, brother.
All right, man.
Talk to you later, bud.
See ya.
Bye.
But
all right. Okay, folks, that was the show. I want to thank Ryan Quinn Flanagan again. He has a new book out with Alien Buddha Press, Vegas Poems 2. Pick it up. It's a great, great book. And like I said, you're never going to go wrong with one of his because he always puts 100% into all of them. And thank you for listening to the show. And, hey, we got through on the first ring and talked about a bunch of crap that probably didn't have anything to do with writing. But, you know, if it pissed you off, guess what? It didn't cost you nothing, so quit complaining. So anyways, until next time, everybody stay crazy. I am John Patrick Robbins. Thank you for listening to Off the Wagon.